And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
On behalf of the entire Obama family, I want to wish you and your families across America and around the world a happy Diwali as you celebrate the Festival of Lights. I've been proud to host Diwali celebrations at the White House and be the first president to light the Diya in 2009. When Michelle and I visited India, we were able to join in Diwali festivals with some wonderful children in Mumbai. It was a reminder of the traditions we share across continents and cultures.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
You know, it's nice having a multicultural president. It really is. Every religion, every race is not equal. Some are more superior than others. In fact, when you have a multicultural president, some animals are more equal than others. If you read your Orwell, you know the reference I'm making. If you didn't, I pity you. And I never met a Hindu I didn't like, by the way. I've always gotten along with Hindu people, and I've had Hindu friends, incidentally, in real life, real time. And I don't just mean in Indian restaurants. I lived in Fiji, where half the population were Indians and Hindus, and I learned something about the Hindu religion. And I respect greatly the fact that Indian people come here, and in one generation or less, they're winning spelling bees. And it's not about that. It's about a nauseating bending over backwards to gush over every religion and every race in such a childish way. Anyway, welcome to the Savage Nation. It's between me and you. Churchill said this: everyone is in favor of free speech. Hardly a day passes without its being extolled. But some people's idea of it is that they are free to say what they like, but if anyone else says anything back, that is an outrage. We all know what's going on in the campuses. We all know who they are. I told you that they are the Red Brigades, the Red Guard of Mao Tse Obama. Some housekeeping. I want to thank you, and it's an important point. Government Zero debuted at number 3 last week on the New York Times bestseller list. I actually beat Trump, whose book only debuted at number 5 last week. Or was it this week? I'm not sure. And I have virtually no machinery behind me. None whatsoever, except the truth itself. So thank you for supporting the Government Zero message. And I want to talk about Donald Trump's candidacy for a minute. I still support him, but he is far from perfect. Just as people continue to extol Ronald Reagan as perfect when he is not perfect, no one is perfect. No person, no politician is perfect. You can't make Donald Trump into a perfect candidate or a perfect man. I don't think he asks you to do that. He is far from perfect. But he may be our last hope as a moderate nationalist. And I have this question which I ask myself. Which candidate would have the guts to drop a tactical nuclear weapon on ISIS if it comes down to that? Do you think anyone else but Trump would have the guts to do it? I don't. And now I want to go on to something very important in this age of fascism on the college campuses and the age of lies coming out of the government media complex. And it's about white male inventions. And if you can disagree with anything I'm saying, give me a call at 855-407-282. But how do you explain that trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, and fax machines were all miracles made possible by the minds and spirits of men with names like Ampere, Bell, Casselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other so-called dead white males. I hate to disappoint my friends on the radical left, but it has nothing to do with the Democrat Party. And what I'm about to say is tantamount to blasphemy in this politically insane day and age. Yet truth is truth. How long are we going to pretend that dead white males gave us most of the inventions that we all enjoy on this planet? How about the revolution in electronics and computer technology? Is that not a result of the dead white males? Isn't it true for all of our booms throughout history have the same origins as this one? Just look at the names in your history books and their national origins. The great majority of booms, past and present, have been brought about by the genius and inventiveness of that most despicable of genders, the dreaded white male, or to be exact, by specific individual white males. Now, this is not to discredit the many contributions coming from non-whites and non-white males, but fact is fact. Our most important and consequential inventions have come almost exclusively from white males. Now, you can curse me or all white males if you wish. That changes nothing. But if you call me a liar, you'll have to come up with the proof that I'm wrong. Remember, I didn't say there were no important contributions by non-white males. I said the overwhelming majority. Now, of course, I know about such things as the Chinese and gunpowder, but they didn't take it much beyond firecrackers and pyrotechnics. And, of course, I know about the pyramids and the masonry of South America and the zero of the Arabs. But would we have atomic physics and electricity if it hadn't been for the ancient Greek philosophers who, for example, had the idea that all matter consists of tiny atoms? That was Aristotle in the 5th century B.C. He used electrical charges to treat gout. Archimedes, another Greek, perceived the center of gravity of solids, cylinders, and spheres. And from the basic discoveries of Greek civilization, it went to the Romans. And after the fall of Rome, it passed to later Europeans, who expanded on the scientific knowledge. In modern times, these ideas were developed by such Europeans as Volta, Ampere, Watts, Bell, Edison, and Einstein, who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today. And all of them are hated because they're white and male. Now, maybe you got your enlightenment from one of the Ivy League institutions of this education. Maybe they taught you that it's all the result of white racism and oppression. That every time a potential Einstein, Edison, or Ford popped up in the third world, a white hit squad would swoop down and eliminate him before he had a chance to prove himself. Or maybe their schools refused to teach him in another language. Or maybe they didn't have proper daycare facilities. Or maybe they were oppressed emotionally. Or maybe our would-be innovator came from a dysfunctional family. But the facts tell us that many of the great men pursued their genius at great personal risk, like the astronomer Galileo, who proved that the Earth revolves around the Sun. He and other men of genius and courage refused to be suppressed, even if it meant their lives. They would permit no race, no gender, no group or class to keep them from their pursuit of truth and excellence, whatever the cost. I warn you, if you eliminate, suppress, or debase the white male, you will kill the goose that laid the golden egg. If you ace him out with affirmative action and the fascism of today's colleges, if you exile him from the family, teach him that he's a blight on mankind, then bon voyage to Western civilization. We will devolve into a third world cesspool. Where has there ever before in history been a group of human beings who have brought about the likes of the Magna Carta, the U.S. Constitution, and the countless life-saving and life-improving inventions that we now enjoy? Now, it's certainly true that China did lead the world in technology and commercial inventiveness about 1,000 years ago. They had great coal mining operations. They had gunpowder. They had 6-masted sailing ships and intense commercial enterprise. But did you know that it all collapsed because the elites, the long-nailed mandarins, centralized control 1,000 years before Mao, crushed the expansion and inventions? Did you know any of that? Does this mean we should all sit back and let ourselves be governed by someone just because he's a white male? Of course it doesn't. It means simply that we shouldn't suppress anyone, including white males. Let our God-given gifts run free in a free and just society, free from the oppression and tyranny of social engineers. If anyone has gifts beyond our own, be he a white male or other, be grateful. Maybe we have gifts that in some small way can contribute something of value as well. One way or another, we're all in the same boat on the same small planet. Few of us have truly outstanding gifts, and most of us have to humbly accept that there are others around who are more gifted than we are. In a democratic society, it's not for Big Brother to decide who shall thrive and who shall struggle in the hive. I'm Michael Savage, and I wrote that monologue in 1999. I'm the only member of the American media who has been banished from the United Kingdom because of the oppression of the British Labour Party No matter what anyone may say in the media, I'm the only member of the American media not able to go to Britain because they used the fascism that Churchill warned us against to twist my words and banish me from the English people. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or swissamerica.com.
Yeah, there's no America now because of the multicultural administration. Turn it off. Heard it too many times. There's no meaning.
You know, the speech by Churchill that he's known for many speeches, there's one that's entitled, We Shall Fight on the Beaches, and he gave that speech to the House of Commons that was known immediately as an historic speech, We Shall Fight on the Beaches. And I got to tell you, my speech that I just gave you called White Male Inventions is actually in the same category as We Shall Fight on the Beaches. It's just as inspiring. It should be recalled and remembered long after I'm off the radio. Never forget what I just gave you. I gave you something that you should hold on to, and I want you to understand that I consider it to be an historic speech, especially since I'm proud to tell you I'm the only member of the American media who's been actually banned from entering England. Now, others may say that they're this and they're that, and God bless them. Good for them. But I'm telling you that I wear it as a badge of courage and a badge of honor, that not one person in the American media that you know of came to my defense when I was illegally banned from entering Britain in 2009. And it cost me $400,000 and I got nowhere. You know why? Because nobody backed me in the media. Nobody on Fox News. Actually, there was one person on Fox News who came out in my favor. You know who it was? At the time, it was Martha Washington. She did, actually, at that time, before she became too big to fail. Anyway, going back to today's topic, we're in very dangerous waters. Because many people were admitted to campuses who never belonged there to begin with. They never made it based on their grades or their intellect or their intelligence. They were pushed ahead in every grade. And now that they can't keep up with everyone else, they're blaming everyone else for the fact that they can't keep up. And they're coming up with terms like microaggression. They're inventing stuff. They're inventing things. Microaggression. Whoever heard of such a thing? It's nonsense. And the America that you know is dying. And the reason it's dying is because of the mentality that's emanating from the sickest administration in history. Dale on WTMA in South Carolina, go ahead, please. Dale, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
Dale, the unfortunate tragedy is that Asians and Caucasians are being discriminated against when it comes to receiving scholarships at major universities. Yes, the Muslims did contribute to much of what we refer to as mathematics and the number system, so on and so forth.
Whoa. What are you talking about? Did you hear anything that I said? Did you hear my great speech or not?
I heard part of it, and it was a great speech.
Well, what do you mean Muslims contributed to mathematics? They invented the zero, and then what did they do for 800 years?
Algebra, and that's the point. That's my point. That's all they have done.
Right. And what did they do for the last 800 years since algebra and naming the stars?
Nothing. That's it. That's my point. But my point in addition is that being a university professor myself, Caucasians and Asians are being discriminated against when it comes to being recipients of major scholarships at universities.
Well, I understand that. Here in California where I live, and I'm a proud graduate of the University of California where I earned my PhD in a very difficult field, by the way, despite what ignoramuses would say about me, those who have no idea of what I actually did. They discriminated against Asians at UC Berkeley because too many Asians got into UC Berkeley. And so they started discriminating against Asians and blocking them from entering because whatever those tests are, SATs, and grades were too high. It's complete racism against Asians.
Absolutely.
And so I totally oppose that because I've said for years on this show, I wouldn't care if UC Berkeley were 100% Asian if they did it based on grades. It wouldn't matter to me. And I'm not Asian. I'm in favor of excellence. That's all that matters to me. I think I wrote a book years ago called The Death of the White Male back in the 70s or 80s. I don't remember when. A small book, The Death of the White Male. And I ended it by saying, without quality, there can be no equality. That was my favorite famous quote. Without quality, there can be no equality. That's one of my greatest lines, Dale. Dale, I want to thank you for calling. I'm sending you a free copy of Government Zero. WABC, John, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
This topic is so ironic for me. I go to college at night, and last week I was telling the call screener, my professor said that a majority of the inventions were stolen from the black male.
And I was let's see. Hold on. Well, let's try to analyze this. Let's see. Let's see now. Ampere stole it from a black male? Did Thomas Edison have someone he stole it from? Ohm, Faraday? Did Einstein steal it from someone I don't know about?
You're right.
Did Teller steal it from someone I don't know about? Did Mr. Dunlop steal it from someone I don't know about? Why don't you give him these names, that moron professor of yours?
I did.
Why don't you take my essay and take an MP3 of it and play it for him and ask him if he can prove to you who they stole their inventions from? Does he have any names?
Dr. Savage, I'm getting dirty looks in the class now because I stood up for what I know is right, and not only by the professor, by the students. I'm getting dirty looks.
But you don't understand. The only way to win an argument is not to yell, not to scream and say, you know, sir, you made a statement, so let me read you something. I'm going to read you the names of people who have given us some of the greatest advancements in science and technology. Can you tell me who they stole these from? Name the people they stole them from and see what your genius professor says then. But do it without yelling or screaming.
Okay.
Do you want me to post this on my website, White Male Inventions? Would that help?
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to try to get it up on my website if I can find a copy of it. White Male Inventions by Michael Savage. I did this in December of 1999. And then you take it to your genius professor and ask him who they stole their inventions from. And you want the names of the people that they stole them from. And do it quietly. And submit it as an essay to him or a quiet question. See what his answer is, John.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage. That impersonate is a man named Fleetwood and Mac. Clint Eastwood, Mac. Clint Eastwood. He's still my favorite actor. I watched some of his old movies. He's still great. I mean, I just watched... Actually, he wasn't, and I'm getting mixed up. It was Steve McQueen in Bullet. Because that car chase, man, I tell you, after I got that Dodge, right? I can't remember the car, the insignia on it, the black Dodge I own. The Hellcat. I watched that movie, 70mm film stock, shot in San Francisco, while the Embarcadero was still, you know, with the thing over it, the highway, and seedy hotels on the Embarcadero. Now it's beautiful now with the waterfront, with the bread I buy every day. But I like the seedy waterfront scenes where the mobster gets shot in the room. And the car chase up and down Chestnut Street in Union. I don't know what streets they were on. Right? Still the best. And the sound of the engines, you just love it. I love that movie. But I don't take the Hellcat over the bridge. I keep it in my garage and I look at it like Italians do with their Ferraris. They don't drive them in Italy. I hear they sit in their bonds. They smoke cigars and they drink wine and look at their cars. It's smart. Why drive it? So what do you want to do? You want to talk about the insanity of the lunatics, the losers on campuses who know that they're second and third rate and that's why they're rioting? You're telling me a kid in astrophysics is going to waste his time screaming about microaggression? He's going to waste his time, a kid who got into astrophysics, who wants to figure out how to launch a rocket to Jupiter? He's going to waste his time with these wastrels on campus, these losers in departments that didn't even exist 10 years ago, invented departments with no scholarship? Why would he be out there with those losers? It's all a second and third tier group of morons who never belonged on campus to begin with. That's my opinion. That's all. If I had taken this approach when I was an undergrad, for example... Now, I wasn't the smartest memorizer on campus, let me tell you that. I always had trouble memorizing things. There were kids who were far better than me at memorizing books. They got straight A's. I never got straight A's. I had trouble memorizing. I was always a dreamy student. But I didn't say that kids who could memorize better were stupider than me. I didn't say that they didn't deserve their A's. I didn't say they didn't deserve the scholarships. I said, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. They went on and they did what they did. I went on and did what I did. Everyone has their own talents. We're all snowflakes. We're all different. So don't tell me everyone has the capacity of Einstein if only they're given the chance. That's ludicrous. On the face of it, that's idiotic. Go to your football field, idiot. Everyone can play football. How many times do I have to say the same thing to you? You want affirmative action on the football field? And by that token, I should have been a quarterback. I would have dropped the ball before throwing it. But what? When I was screamed, it was microaggression because the other player scared me as he ran at me? Oh, I dropped the ball because he gave me a look. The microaggression made me drop the ball. That's the same thing that's going on in the world of the mind. But you can't talk to idiots who never belonged on campus to begin with. Never. You know, this goes back to arguments I've made for 20 years now. When I went to high school, and I think it's long overdue that we do this again, there were three tiers of high school. There was the academic. Then we had, I believe there was a commercial high school where kids who were never going to be in academics went and studied to be whatever it was. I think secretaries or this and that. And then there was the vocational schools. Basically, the kids learned to be electricians, plumbers, carpenters in a vocational school. They worked with tools, and they could become a tradesman. But you didn't mix them all together like suddenly everyone's the same, because everyone's not the same. People have different desires, different capacities. Now, all of a sudden, in this homogeneous idiot society of ours, it's assumed that every moron can be an Einstein. It's just not true. It's just not true. Not everyone is made for an academic performance. It's that simple. No matter what you're going to do, you're not going to have the same outcome, no matter how you try. So I think I've covered that topic. And I don't want to eat my heart out over it anymore. I've done it for too many years. Michael Savage addresses the Commonwealth Club of California. That is a very important speech. Beware the Government Media Complex, Part 1, May 15th, 2000. We are proud to welcome you to the live broadcast of Michael Savage's address to the Commonwealth Club of California, the largest public affairs speaking forum in the United States. Since its founding in 1903, the Commonwealth Club has hosted every American president since Theodore Roosevelt, and has welcomed persons from every field and endeavor, from Clarence Darrow to the Dalai Lama. Please welcome Michael Savage. No other American talk show host has ever been invited to the Commonwealth Club, despite their protestations to the contrary. Now, my speech and my thesis was quite simple. The title was Beware the Government Media Complex. And what I said then, and I'll say now again, is this. I hope to prove to you that perhaps never before in American history has there been so cozy a relationship between government and media. It is a relationship that transcends left and right. It has nothing to do with race and nothing to do with politics, but everything to do with press freedom. That was the opening to my speech. And that was May 15th, 2000. I'm not going to play it for you. I'm looking back on this. There was an excellent article today on, where is this? The Closing of the American Mouth by Suzanne Fields in the Washington Times. And she said, college kids do the darndest things. You send them away to open up their minds and they learn to close them for themselves and for others. The tantrum generation just managed a left-wing coup at the University of Missouri, stifling freedom of expression, forcing out the president and chancellor of the university. And she goes on with a wonderful story about these sub-morons, basically, and what's going on campuses, and how it's just like Animal Farm thing, you know, points I made myself. All hiring, admission, and participation shall reflect the racial diversity of the campus, except sports teams, given that sports is a far more important activity than scholarship and teaching, and thus alone requires selection solely on legitimate criteria of merit. I think that was written by Victor Davis Hanson when he wanted to rewrite Orwell's Animal Farm, and he was 100% right. And we've said the same thing on this program for years. It's fascism, no matter what you call it, and no one will stand up to these liberal fascists. If we don't stop them with the truth, you will have no freedom of speech left in this country whatsoever. Don't you think it's a miracle that I've survived 21 years being as outspoken as I am? Do you have any idea what would have happened to me had I gone into my chosen profession and become a professor at one of America's universities? Do you have any idea how long I might have not lasted on the campus, given as forceful, as intelligent, as insightful, and as strong-willed as I am? Do you think I would have survived on a campus? So it was fate or God's will that when they closed those doors to me, another door opened. There's an old saying, when one door closes, another door opens. It's true in walk, it's true in religion, it's true in business, it's true in love. It's true in everything in your life. When you think that it's the darkest day of your life, it means one door closed. And if you stop looking at that closed door, which is very dark, there is nothing darker than a closed door that's been slammed in your face. If you turn around the other way, you'll see there's a big hallway, and another door will open for you. You just got to keep walking and looking for the light. Do you think I would have lasted on a campus when I worked so hard as an immigrant son to become a professor? No, they closed the door in my face. Not because I didn't have the capacity to be a professor. It's because I was a non-designated hiree. And I struggled for many years, and I found my menu. I found my place in life. I kept fighting and fighting and fighting, and I wound up in radio. And I struggled to go from being a local host. It took me 6 years to become a national host. You know, don't think it happened overnight. I had to fight every day. The doors were all closed to me. And every day that I'm on the air, do you think this is something that comes with the territory? I have to struggle every day to sustain my ratings, sustain my intelligence, sustain my message, and not make a mistake that lands me with another closed door. Do you understand that? And so I walk the line, and I walk that tightrope, and I do it because I'm good at it, and I enjoy it. But the fact of the matter is that nothing in life that is worth anything comes without struggle. Nothing. Nothing is given to you. And yet these brats on the campuses want you to give them straight A's, so then go on and destroy the next institution that they go to. They want to go from undergraduate destructive elements to what, to graduate school? And then when they can't make it and in law, on a law school admission test, an LSAT, they'll say what, the test is racist? Or they can't make it on an MCAT? You know, they'll say the test is racist because they can't make it into medical school, automatically make them a doctor? So they'll cut your artery where they're supposed to take off a fingernail? That's what you want? You want to go into a surgical ward not knowing who's cutting you? Because the idiot couldn't pass a test? Is that the world you want to inherit under Barry Obama? That's the world you're going to inherit unless you stand up and be as forceful as I am, shouting down these brats. And that's all I think I want to say on this. There are other topics. Now, we have sound bites of the great First Lady, another great genius, who was advanced because of her intelligence only. Now she's, where is she now? In India, giving a speech? She needed another winter vacation with the children. So she invented a reason to go to India now, after laying low for a while. So she's in India talking about the oppression of women, I swear to God. Here is the First Lady of the United States of America, again, talking about oppression. Robert, do we have that one? Nobody can believe this. Listen to this one.
If we truly want to get girls into our classrooms, then we need to have an honest conversation about how we view and treat women in our societies. And this conversation what? Needs to happen in every country on this planet, including my own.
Oh, my God.
You I say this.
You see, this is actually the these are the words of an insane demagogue. She is the most powerful woman in the United States. She's saying it's unfair to women. If this is not the mark of an insane demagogue, I'd like to know what is. I mean, I'm used to demagoguery from every Democrat out there. I get it every day. Been doing it for my life, putting up with demagoguery. But insane demagoguery is something. I don't know what they're drinking in that White House. I don't know what, maybe it's in the pipes, like ancient Rome fell because of lead pipes. Maybe someone ought to look into the pipes in the White House. Maybe the water pipes are lead-based. Something is wrong with this woman. I'll take a break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIE.
When my grandmother was born, women couldn't vote. When my mother was a young wife, women couldn't open credit cards in their own name. They needed their husband's permission. And when it came to education, their options were very limited. Back then, girls were discouraged from studying.
Why is she doing this in India? What is she trying to do? Is there anyone in my vast American and international audience who cannot finally see through these two people? They've never been anything more than radical, fanatical, left-wing organizers. Why is she in India stirring up this resentment in India? What is she trying to do? Why does she denigrate her own nation? She is the most powerful woman in the world with her whiny voice complaining about America. She is a disgrace to this country. She does not elevate America's status in the world. She denigrates America's status in the world, in my opinion. And that's all I want to say on that matter. In fact, I don't know what I want to say next. I don't know if I want to stick to this topic. I can't take it anymore. What did you expect from two street organizers who were given positions well beyond their capacity? Did you expect them to elevate the dialogue in America? Did you expect good things to happen in America? Did you expect them to bring races together? Is that what you expected? Because that's not what happened, is it? All right, time for callers. My hometown of San Francisco, Michael on KSFO. Make it quick, please. Go ahead.
Hey, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. Let me finish my statement. I kind of disagree with you. I disagree with what's happening on the campuses today, but I disagree with you on the affirmative action thing, and I am a product of it, coming from Baltimore, single mom, raising three boys, dad I haven't seen in, I don't know, 21 years. So when you have people like me who are trying, but yet if you look at the communities, the African-American communities, the Latino communities, the schools aren't the best. We don't have the best teachers. We don't have all the money is there, but we don't have the best to make it and to compete on the same level as...
Wait. What do you mean the schools aren't as good? I'll argue with you about that in a minute because that's blatantly not true. How come I went to Jamaica High School? There were black kids and Chinese kids and white kids. They went to the same school I did.
Wait, let me finish.
I'm just responding to one point that I disagree with. I think what you're arguing is you assume everybody else comes from a functional family and comes from a good school and has money and happy people who put them in pajamas every night and read their homework with them. And it's just not true. What about poor white kids who come from a single family home? Shouldn't they? See, I'm in favor of affirmative action, my friend, if it was based upon circumstances rather than race. Meaning if you're a poor white, you came from a single mother home, or you were a homeless kid, and you want some advantage, the society can give it to you. But I don't believe it should be exclusively based upon race. I think that's where we disagree.
I totally agree with what you're saying. It should be based on that, but not necessarily entirely race. I agree with you there.
But Michael, hold on. Since you're a reasonable man, I know black people who came from upper middle class homes. The father was a surgeon. The mother was a doctor. And do you know that they benefited from affirmative action here in California? And they were very happy to take advantage of it. They were moved to the head of the class even though they were ordinary students. They were given scholarships, not because they needed them. They took them from black kids and white kids and other kids who needed those scholarships. They were happy to take advantage of affirmative action, which you would have to admit is unfair. So I think we can all agree that maybe kids who come from impoverished backgrounds deserve a step up. But I wouldn't base it on race alone.
I get that not race alone. I said that not race alone. But what I'm saying to you, though...
You know, you sound like a very nice guy who deserves every advantage that you've been given, frankly. I like you as a person. I can tell by your voice you and I would get along. And as a token of my appreciation, I'm giving you my dog, Teddy. No, I can't do that. I'm giving you a copy of my dog, Teddy. No, I can't do that. I'm giving you a copy of Government Zero. I can do that. Stay on the line. What a Thanksgiving gift that would be, Teddy. But I can't do it because he can't be cloned. So I can only clone my book, Government Zero, which is available in every bookstore in America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Like so many girls across the globe, I got the message that I shouldn't take up too much space in this world, that I should speak softly and rarely.
What a troublemaker.
That I should have modest ambitions for my future,
right,
that
right,
I should...
We got the picture. Right, two radicals, two street organizers, traveling the world, spewing hatred about... Here is the most powerful woman in the world on a vacation in India, passed off as a state visit. I guess the mother-in-law wanted to go visit India or something. So she goes and gives a speech putting down America and then saying women are oppressed. Why did you try it in Pakistan? Why did you talk about real oppression in a Muslim country instead of bothering India? Why is she doing this? Well, these are some of the questions. We're living in insane times. But I didn't expect anything different. I knew what we'd get when he was put into power. And every time I get off the air, every day, after every show, I suffer PRSD. I suffer post-radio stress disorder every day. It takes itself, it manifests itself in different ways, PRSD. For example, during my break, you think post-radio stress disorder is a joke? Ask my family. During the break, what do you think I did during this break? I ate a chicken leg from a hot chicken brought to me from a supermarket. Then I ate an entire veal parmesan from a supermarket unheated. I gave Teddy a piece of steak from a restaurant from Sunday night. And we're both happy. He's laying under the desk, smiling. I'm sitting on top of the desk, not smiling. Because living well is the best revenge, let me tell you. And if you want to talk about microaggressions, go ahead, make my day. Microaggressions, you hear a thing like this? Have you ever heard of insanity like this? And hey, where do you think it's coming from? If we had a leader who would stand up and say, this nonsense has to stop, enough is enough, get back to school and learn something and make something yourself, it would be over in 1 second. But we found out today that the leader of this pack of radicals on the campus visited the White House 4 times. What, are you surprised to find out that I was right again? That this entire riot situation on campuses is being orchestrated by the White House? You're shocked to find it out that I was correct again? No, well, don't be so surprised. Hate me or love me, but you have to admit I'm usually right. That's all. Now let's move on. Let's see the date on the calendar. November 12th. Today I'm in a home studio. Yesterday I was at KSFO in San Francisco. I liked it a lot. Couldn't eat in the studio. I'd eat in the lunchroom. Didn't bother me. I ran in the hall with the food, the Chinese food. I don't blame them. Someone spilled a tonic water into the board, I heard. So they banned all food from the studio. They should have done that a long time ago. When I worked in that station, you could faint from the smell in there when you walked in. People were cooking. I don't know what else they were doing in there after hours. I don't even want to think about it. We used to have to run fans in the studio when I worked at that station. In fact, Mike, who is the production manager, and I used to have a lot of fun. I haven't seen him in years. He was there yesterday. He said it was so bad in the years gone by that he said that I thought of buying one of those airboats from Florida to ventilate the studio in between personalities. But those are the days radio studios were supposed to stink. You were supposed to go in with garbage and paper and this and that. Everything's too sterile now. Everyone's afraid of their own shadow. Today is Thursday, so it's 2 weeks to Thanksgiving, right? So already people in America, they're on vacation already. Oh, don't, you'll see, they're taking kids out of school already next week. You know, on vacation already, ski already. They saw snow in the Sierra. I guess global warming ended for the season. You won't be hearing much about global warming for the next few months. And they'll be already on ski vacations. I don't blame them. It's nice to escape. But at the end of the day, the kid has to go out there and fend for himself and make a living for himself. You can coddle your son for only so long. And I got to tell you, again, I'll go back to my upbringing because it was a very tough upbringing, I think. Immigrant upbringing. Father came from Russia. Immigrant. Worked very hard. Was afraid I'd amount to nothing if he left me be too soft. So he drilled into my head and he would give me lessons from Life 101. And it would be from day-to-day life. So if I was walking the street with him, let's say, and a bird across the way in the Bronx fell out of a nest, I would say, Dad, look at the bird flapping on the ground. Why can't you pick it up and find the nest? He said it's too late. He said if a human being touches a baby chicklet that falls out of a nest, the adult birds will kill it. Did you know that that's true? Did you know anything about life like this? Did you know about survival of the fittest? And it was harsh, and the kid didn't want to hear that. And then I learned in my own way, it is survival of the fittest. Nothing's ever changed. Now, I understand the liberal credo, which is that we're not animals, we don't live in the jungle, we live in a civilized, humane society, we're supposed to help the most vulnerable. Ah, but there's the rub, Mary. There's the rub, Mary, and I'm not talking about rosemary on your turkey. There's the rub, Mary. Who is the most vulnerable? Those who you have selected for affirmative action, who didn't deserve to be given the positions they have to begin with, and now that they're there and can't keep up, they're riding on the basis of inventions such as microaggression? Mary, do you understand that there's the rub, Mary? Who is the most vulnerable today? Well, let's see, where do you want to begin? In the Middle East, the most vulnerable are the Christians, Mary. And what has your Muslim president done about that, Mary? Or the Yazidi women who are being raped and kidnapped by ISIS. What has your Muslim Christian president done about that, Mary? Nothing. So you want to talk about the most vulnerable in America? I would argue the straight white male who wears a cross is the most vulnerable in America today, especially on college campuses. He is being targeted for persecution. The straight white heterosexual Christian male is targeted for persecution on campuses today. Argue with me if you will, but show me the facts to prove that I am wrong. And so I'm not going to go along with the program just because you want me to. And now we can go on to other topics. College students walk out across country. You know my answer would be, keep walking, Johnny. You walked out, keep marching, because the tests are still coming due next week. And if you flunk, you flunk, and we're not changing the exam for you. You want to take a walk out? Keep marching, Johnny. That's all. But you know that those kind of things don't happen anymore. They want free school now. They want microaggression ended. While they engage in bullying and macroaggression, they want you to stop with your microaggression. To them, microaggression is standing up and saying you're a moron. You didn't belong here in the first place. That's considered a microaggression. I was ridiculed every day of my life in school. Did you know that? It made me stronger and smarter. I wanted to prove that I wasn't what they said I was, so I became stronger and smarter. I have another friend who's one of the best lawyers in the world. He was picked on because he was a small Jewish kid. I can't mention his name. He learned to fight bigger and tougher kids. You know what he learned? He learned that if they hit you, hit them harder. And hit them harder and keep hitting them till they're on the ground. That's what he learned. He's one of the best lawyers in the world right now. Is he listening to the show? I hope he is. He grew up in a neighborhood where they picked on him because he was short and Jewish. And he realized then and there, if he didn't fight back, they would have crushed him. He didn't scream, oh, stop with the microaggression. He didn't know about microaggression. He knew about macroaggression. That's all. So, what can I... You want to talk about these topics? They're not even that interesting. They're boring. Michelle is a spoiled child who got ahead based upon certainly not her genius. She's certainly not Marie Curie. I mean, what, Michelle Obama is like Marie Curie already? I love they made her into the smartest woman on earth, like Hillary Clinton, Miss Hairdo. What's going on with Hillary with the hair? Why are people talking about the hair like that matters? I find that juvenile and stupid, incidentally. And I thought that when Trump engaged in that, it lowered his intellectual appeal to me, to be frank with you. He shouldn't be going in that direction with the hair. I'm sorry. She's got a lot of bigger flaws than her hairdo. Media ignores Antarctic ice growth. What else is new? What else is new about the media? All right, let's have some music. I need a little breather. I'm not going to take a break, but I want music. Then I'll take callers. I want some music, something. I don't know what. Rihanna? We have Rihanna? No, I don't want old rock and roll. It's too retro, much too retro. How about Rihanna? That sounds sort of almost now. I don't even know who they are. They were big in the 70s, right? 60s, 70s? They're probably on a walker somewhere in Fort Lauderdale right now, gaunt, with a gaunt face. Nobody would recognize him. Bald, ponytail, 20-year-old wife, a roller. I'm not knocking it. I missed that bullet missed me so far. I don't know how I keep going with the pressure I'm under. What I went through yesterday, what I lived through yesterday, a 30-year-old couldn't do. This was like a bombing mission over Berlin, what I went through yesterday. In case you missed it, people, my my agent said, did you make that up? I said, no, it was all true. He called me from New York. He said, that was an amazing story. Did you really do that? I swear to God, first day in my entire 21 years on radio. First home studio I had to leave because they were putting windows in. I knew I'd have to leave it. So the studio I plan on going to, which is nearby in another house that I own, I start to go to with their trimming trees under my window from the neighbor's property. That was a blowout. So I said, okay, let's go to the other studio 2 miles away in another town. Can't go there. P&G's jackhammering the street, changing the telephone lines. I said, you're kidding me. So then my assistant says, okay, quick, let's run to the city. You have an apartment with a studio that you build. The wires are hot all the time. Cost me a fortune. I get to the apartment. I get there 10 a.m. The show starts at noon. Everything's fine. We test it. It's running beautiful. Fax is running. I go down. I go across to the wherever it is, by the ferry terminal. I bypass the people defecating in the street, the wastrels on skateboards by the Embarcadero, the bums who should be in reform school, the potheads, the lunatics, the drug addicts. And I, with the normal people, I go in there and I go to the bakery, Acme, and I buy an onion loaf. I try to give them a tip. They can't accept it. I don't know what that's about. I come from a place where you tip. I'm sorry, we can't accept it. That's a very California thing. They look like they're like brainwashed from a cult. I'm sorry, sir, we can't accept the tip, like I insulted them. All right, whatever. Sorry, I don't give them a tip. I go back to the apartment. It's now 11:20. Show starts at noon, right? As God is my witness, a jackhammer starts through the wall. I call the apartment management. I said, what is going on? They said, a pipe broke at a neighbor's apartment. They're drilling. I said, you're kidding me. So my heart's pounding. The show is in 35 minutes. So I call and email the program director at KSFO. And a guy is managing 8 stations. We reach him. He says, come on over. They move Mike out of the studio, which they share for production. We get in there within 10 minutes to go, and I do the show. Now, I want to ask you something. Would a normal man have done that? No. Would someone who had not been trained to survive no matter what's thrown at you put up with that? Another guy at my age, even half my age, would have said, you know what, today's not the day for radio. Let someone fill in. Let him do a best of. I'm not going to kill myself. Right or wrong? Anyone else would have said, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I did it. Why did I do it? Why did I continue to go? Why did I want to be on the air? Because my father taught me that you'll have adversity every step of the way in your life. No matter what field of endeavor you are in, there will always be impediments in your way. You're always going to have to overcome them. It's drilled into me. It's called a work ethic, something that these brats on the college campuses never learn. The work ethic. It's called, if you want to laugh at it, the Protestant work ethic. You don't hear it anymore, do you? That's also illegal now, the Protestant work ethic, instead of the un-Protestant hate ethic? Where are we? I blew through one stop set. There's only 8 minutes left in the whole hour, and I got to take a break in the half hour? Frightening. Where does my energy come from? It's otherworldly. All from a veal parmesan and a chicken leg? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Uncanny that I'm still on the radio after all these years. And wonderful at the same time. Somebody up there likes me, comma, I hope. But here we are in the Savage Nation talking about all the things, I mean, all the issues of the day. I mean, it's called News Talk. When you think about it, what is radio? The field I am in is called News Talk, is what it really is. And we're talking about the news. We're talking about the clueless haters on campuses, the losers who shouldn't have been there to begin with, who are screaming about microaggression and this and that. You know, they can't cut it. We used to say, can't cut the mustard. It's that simple. When you think everyone could get into Annapolis in my day or West Point? They were elite schools. Now, take a look at what's in Annapolis or West Point today. Go take a look at what they're putting in there. I don't even want to go there. It's unbelievable. How can anyone still fly a plane, I don't know, and land it on an aircraft carrier with the idiots running the Navy? Take a look at it. Used to be the best, absolutely the best. Look at what they're putting in now. They know they can't fly the plane and land it on a carrier, so they make them in charge of the whole fleet, where they don't have to do anything. So what do you want to talk about? John, KSFO, fire away. You got a minute or less. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael. Hey, I've heard you talking about Michelle Obama and mentioning fascism, using that word kind of in the wrong way, in the sense that we've had fascism for the last several years through things like...
Okay, I know. When I already heard the word kind of coming from your mouth, I know what I'm getting next. I know, kind of. Kind of. Typical college boy. Well, why is she lecturing about women's rights in India like she comes from an oppressed background? You think she's an oppressed person, John?
No, that's not my point at all. To do with her.
Oh, please. All right, pardon me. What is your point?
Well, you used fascism in the wrong way, and that's not what's going on in this insanity that's happening in the campuses. I agree with you. It's insanity, and these people are shoveling about all kinds of things. But fascism has been when, you know, AT&T is co-opted by the NSA to usurp our constitutional rights.
You mean something that your boss Obama has ordered, correct?
Yes, exactly. So
we agree on something.
But that's not how you use the term. But anyway, really what I want to talk about is
all right, you just want to be picky and great, so you're a genius. What else? What else do we disagree on?
This concept that's used by these fake labels like left-right, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal.
All right, we know. I've talked about it for 20 years. Anything else is new? Have you read Government Zero? I'm sending you a copy, John. If you dare read it, get back to me after you've devoured it because it's the most intellectually satisfying read of our generation. And you'll understand what I mean by Government Zero when you read it. And you'll understand that there is liberal fascism emanating from Michelle and whatever his name is.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. Masculinity about it. Others don't. So I am suffering an illness. I've never disclosed it till today. It just popped out of me. I do have PRSD, which is post-radio stress disorder, which I suffer every night after the show. I ask my family if I'm making it up. And it comes out in different ways in different people. In my case, I overeat. I feel so good right now, I don't even understand why. I mean, I did something new today. Just before the show, I drank a gigantic cup of coffee, which I've done before, but this time I ate chocolate. Chocolate without sugar in it. I got the dark chocolate without sugar. Unbelievable. I know why the Aztecs drank it in a cup. That's one contribution to world civilization we have to thank them for, which is the chocolate fetish. They had it. You know that the Aztecs drank chocolate in cups? They didn't make it into a bar. They drank it. Pretty good idea. What stuff that is. I'll have a collapse later. A hypoglycemia about 2 hours after the show. I wish I were dead. That's the problem. I mean, sugar, you know, and caffeine you can use to get up there into the stratosphere. But then it's a drop down. What it does to your blood sugar, forget about it. I don't have diabetes. I have no known illness yet. None. Well, I can't exactly say that, but so far, so good. Cholesterol upside down, a nightmare. My blood lipids, if you saw them, you'd have me in the hospital the next minute. But because it shows you cholesterol readings mean next to nothing. It's an invention of the drug industry. All right, let's go to the call. Is Ed on WMAL? What's on the plate for today, Ed?
Hey, how's it going, Michael?
Okay, fire away.
Yeah, listen, man, my father, I grew up in a tough neighborhood, and my dad, he told me when I was growing up, son, you got to get out there and you got to work. The world doesn't owe you anything, he said. He said, you get out there and you work hard and you earn your living and you chase that American dream. If you want more than what you got, go to college and get it.
All right, so where are you today? What's the point of the call?
No, the point of the call is that what's going on with the colleges and what's going on with the government, I've never seen anything like it. It makes me
all
sick.
All right, have a nice day. Thank you very much. No one's seen it, but what's the point of just complaining then? You know, my mind isn't even on this anymore. My mind is already on Thanksgiving and who I'm inviting to dinner. That's all I can think about. It's a funny thing. Every time this year comes around now, all I think about is, because I love Thanksgiving, it's my favorite holiday. It almost sounds like it's a plug for something like nuts.com or something. That's not what it is. It's 2 weeks from tonight. I have to start planning already the dinner. So the family been negotiating. One already can't come because this is a reason. So that's out. That's number one. The other one I don't talk to. So that's two. The other side of the family I haven't talked to in a year. That's number two. This is becoming like a stereotype. The other side of the family, which I love, we can get together and maybe. So I'm going to my favorite restaurant, which I won't mention. I booked a table A to have four people so far. So I have to look down on my list and see who am I going to invite. I'm going down the list. No, I don't talk to any of them anymore. I look at the other people. MK, I'm not going to invite him. He's a crank. T&M, not inviting them. I don't like him. MW and no. The other one, they just came out of obligation, not inviting them. This one I'm not inviting because he used to work for the other syndicator. He was a crook, not inviting him. LNYS, not inviting them because the last I went to the house, when they came to my house for dinner, they brought a bottle of beer. I swear to God. I invited them to a dinner years ago. They brought me a bottle of Superior beer as a gift. Not a wine. Not even a cheap $2 chuck. The guy brought a bottle of beer. He's out of the list. Next one, no, he's no longer my lawyer. Next one, no, he's a crank. Then I have a list of alternates I can't even invite. You know, you'll have alternates. There's no one even on the alternate list I would have there. So that's it. I wound up getting along. Remember that movie years ago? It was set in Baltimore. One of the best directors around. Who knows? It was something with Baltimore, a Jewish family that starts out in the beginning like an immigrant family. They're all together. 100 people in a room spread out, a children's table, all arguing and happy and with the turkeys. Remember that? And then it ends with the progenitor of the family alone in a dark room, by himself, with a TV tray, watching a little screen, eating alone because everyone's had a fight. No one will come over anymore. Either they're dead or they don't talk to each other. Who wrote, who knows the movie I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you do. I'll give you a free copy of Government Zero. I used to know it. Levin, Barry Levinson did the movie. That's number one. So you could easily figure out the title of it. Maybe someone in my studio could jump to that one and give me the title so I don't have to give away another book. He lived in the area, Barry Levinson. That was one of his better movies. He hasn't done anything in years, but everyone still thinks he's a famous director. It's funny how people live on their laurels. I read, by the way, speaking of actors, that Robert De Niro is thinking of moving to Russia. I don't know if it's a rumor. They said, are you going to accept? Because he's over in Russia pushing a movie, and he was at the Moscow Film Festival years ago. You're considering doing what Depardieu did. He's not going to do it. So far as I know, there's no Little Italy in Moscow. I don't think so. I don't think there's a Little Italy in Moscow, by the way. I've thought of it. If this keeps up, imagine how crazy the world has become. The left is so fanatical. We're becoming so much like the ex-Soviet Union. I'm thinking about which country to move to if it gets worse. So I'm saying, well, maybe I have to go to Russia. It seems to be the best country left on the planet. Run by a decent leader. And I said, nah, you can't do that. I'm going to go back to the country my father fled. That my grandfather fled. I'm going to go to Russia. First of all, Russian's a hard language. Imagine being an immigrant to a nation at my age, not speaking a language, how hard that is. Then that, you see, that is something for you to think about. When you talk to an immigrant who doesn't speak English well, you think they're stupid, don't you? But you, they know more words in your language. My father, this is another thing my father taught me. I'll never forget this as long as I live. It's a funny story how even-minded he was. We had a lot of Spanish speakers come into his store. They were Puerto Ricans. So many of them could not speak English very well. So I would, as a kid, laugh at them. And my father would look at me very grimly and he says, you know what? Don't laugh at them so fast. They speak more English than you speak Spanish. I didn't know a word of Spanish. I turned red and I never ridiculed anyone who spoke English poorly after that. Do you know that? It just shows you what you can learn if you come from the real world. That's all. Next case. Let's move on. You still want to talk about affirmative action? Why you haven't seen enough of the results of it? Take a look at the White House. You'll find out what it's wrought in this country. That's my opinion. Here's Michelle Obama, who got ahead not because she invented the cure to polio, and here she is in India lecturing the world about how bad women are treated in America. Why doesn't she do something like go to Islamic nations and talk about the oppression of women? Why doesn't she talk about the honor killing, so-called, amongst Muslims here in America, killing daughters who date someone but a Muslim? Why doesn't she talk about the mutilation of young girls by Muslims who are being brought in here from Africa? How they mutilate their young girls. That's oppression, my friend. Now, you want to talk about microaggression? Cutting off a girl's private parts is not microaggression, Michelle. Is that a little too aggressive for you in this new age of everyone has to be silent and politically caponized instead of euthanized? Politically correct means you've been intellectually euthanized. That's what it means. If you're worried about what you're going to say with every word you say, you've been euthanized already, mentally euthanized. Write it down. Someone else said it'd be on 18 websites the next second. I have no support in the media. I used to. I have WorldNet Daily. Once in a while, they throw me a bone on the Drudge Report. About once a year, I get it mentioned. But what's the difference? I like them all. What do you want me to talk about? The election? I am so bored of it already. And the debate, I couldn't even find it. Fox buried a Fox Business Channel. I had to go to the internet and say, where is the Republican debate tonight? It was somewhere on channel 9,215. And it wasn't that good. I talked about it the other day. It's enough already. Can't they end it and say, or it's over, calling the election early? The election will be held on February 15th to speed things up because we're bored already. The American people can't take it. There it is. I got to. Yeah, but okay, the movie's out. Okay, Deb on WMAL. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead. Have your moment of fame.
Is Avalon?
What is Avalon?
The name of the movie in Baltimore.
Yes, that is right, Avalon. Why did they call it Avalon?
I don't know. I thought that was a strange name, but I love it because you remember the uncle, they had to wait on him every year. Nobody could eat until the uncle came. And the year that they cut the turkey before he got there, he was like, I can't believe you cut the turkey.
Yeah. That's why I love the movie. Because I'm saying, but it ended with this big immigrant family all together. It ends with the one guy alone in his room, eating in his house, the other one alone in his house. No one talks to each other, right? It was a comment on the modern world that we live in. The isolation of people, the loneliness, right?
Right. It was like the demise of the family. You know, they just
yes.
kept getting more and more distant.
Well, that's right. The only big families left today that are still together are the immigrant families. The American family today is largely atomized. I mean, there are exceptions. I understand that. But by and large, people are alone. This one lives here. That one lives there. That one's there. That one's going on a trip. This one's having a toenail clipped. And they don't get together anymore.
Exactly.
All right, I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero, Stay in the Line. That's a nice Christmas gift. Bring it to your dinner, but if you're eating alone, it's a dinner of one. You'll look at the book yourself on the TV tray. It's not such a bad thing to be alone, by the way. Actually, there's a lot to be said for it. To be very honest, it's not bad eating alone. At least you can concentrate on television. I don't know. I find eating alone, having a meal on a tray or on a table and watching a movie, not such a bad thing. I mean, I want to listen to a relative, really? I don't really want to, how are you, and what were you doing, and what did you do this year, I heard this, and how'd you go, and I had an operation. No kidding. I don't know. Who cares? It's very difficult at a certain point. But I do like Thanksgiving. You know what I think about when Thanksgiving comes around? It's a funny thing. Every Wednesday, before the Thanksgiving holiday, I'll do it next Wednesday, God willing, if I'm on the air. Every Wednesday, right on the cusp of the Thanksgiving thing, for one reason or another, I only remember one Wednesday before Thanksgiving in my whole life. I was an undergrad at Queens College. I don't know. I must have been a sophomore junior. And I had an old Jaguar XK150. I had just gotten it. It was 4 or 5 years old. And it was, you know, I had to fix it up. I was so happy that day. The air was crisp the way New York is in the autumn. It's so beautiful. It's unbelievable. You want to reach out and, like, kiss the sky, as Jimi Hendrix would say, right? And I drove with the top down to the campus, Queens College. Somewhere around dusk, the light was falling. And did you ever get those feelings where everything's perfect and you feel good? I wasn't on drugs. I was just high on life, where the leather smelled good, your jacket felt good, your shoes looked good. Everything worked right, and you drove by, and there were the kids, and you... Then there was a little liquor store there nearby. I went and I picked up a bottle. Who knows what I was drinking in those days? And I took it home. I don't know, you know what? And I try to ask, why is that day so good? Because life's been downhill every day since then. It's never been as good, no matter what I've achieved. Bestsellers, money, houses. That day was the best. Why? I have no idea. Well, I do know why. Because I knew that day was going to be followed by a day when my mother would have a dinner where there'd be 100 people. All the relatives would be there. And my mother knew how to put out a meal. My God. One woman, what she cooked on that little four-burner electric stove, they couldn't do today on a Wolf Range with 25 outlets. You go to a restaurant. I don't laugh at the people. I walk past these restaurants with windows open to the street in San Francisco. I feel bad for the people. They go to cooking school thinking they're going to be a famous chef. And you see the poor guy chopping a carrot through the window with a ponytail. I mean, come on. You got to feel bad for the guy. How much did it cost him? He got screwed going to the Culinary Institute. And there he is in the window on a cutting board cutting up a carrot with three other poor people waiting to become the next celebrity chef. The next one's cutting a cucumber for 3 hours. Next to her is another one waiting to be next. So my mother on four burners without gas in it. How did she do it? Not just a turkey. You'd walk through the house. Am I boring you with this? What do you want me to talk about how great Ronald Reagan was? Or the founding fathers, I'm not going to do it. She understood that when you came to her house as a guest, You didn't have to wait to be fed 3 hours later where you were getting hypoglycemia and could faint. This woman had appetizers on trays, on tables in the doorway in her little attached house in Queens. I remember every table was laden with nuts, with chopped liver, with a herring. 500 different things were on tables. People were stuffing their faces before they took their coats off. Why was I happy on that Wednesday? Because I knew on that Thursday I'd see everyone in my family. They were all alive. They were happy. No one had cancer. No one had a heart attack. No one had heartbreak yet. That's why. What do you want me to do? Tell you not? I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. So I was mentioning a movie, you know, Avalon, by Barry Levinson, done years ago, about a big immigrant family, Jewish in this case. Everyone together, and then it ends as years go on. One gets mad at the other, and then one dies off. They end up alone in a room with a turkey with a television set on. And strangely enough, Baltimore was a beautiful city, by the way. The first line of Craig Smith's amazing book, he's with SwissAmerica.com, and Craig, by the way, has backed my show for 15 years. It's the only gold company in the whole world that you should trust, SwissAmerica.com. He's written a book, and I believe the title is We Have Seen the Future, and it looks like Baltimore. In fact, he quotes, the first line in that book is, I came to America, and then I came to Baltimore. It was the most beautiful place you've ever seen in your life. And look what Baltimore looks like today. It looks like Beirut, Lebanon. And ask yourself why. Ask yourself why it went from such a beautiful city. And ask yourself why Philadelphia has become a cesspool. And ask yourself why Baltimore looks like a cesspool. And ask yourself what happened to the inner city of Detroit. Who are you going to blame it on? Microaggression? Ooh, it was microaggression that caused it. Ooh, yeah, come up with an excuse for everything. What do you think, everyone's a moron and doesn't know what's going on? That's all. End the story. Michelle complaining about women's rights in America. You hear this? The most powerful woman on earth walks around and goes to India, whines about America and women's rights in America. I never heard anything like this. New Yorker ran a cartoon of them, which was roundly criticized. It showed Michelle with a big hairdo, with a bandolier of ammo around her head, looking like a revolutionary. And it showed him looking like a revolutionary, trying to be a little sarcastic. Well, guess what? It wasn't sarcasm. It looked like realism to me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm the shortstop of radio. That's the position I used to play in school, by the way, the two times I ever played baseball. Here we are, hour number three. How do you like that? We made it. Here's a little headline. Give us the breaking news. No one's going to believe this story. Go ahead. Go for it. Secret Service agent arrested in child sex thing. I swear to God. A Secret Service officer assigned to the so-called White House was arrested after he was caught in a sting sending naked pictures of himself to someone he thought was a 14-year-old girl from Delaware, according to a criminal complaint unsealed today. Lee Robert Moore turned himself into the Maryland State Police Barracks the same day the complaint was filed against him in the U.S. District Court. The complaint details a series of online chats between the Sterling Secret Service agent, age 37, and a Delaware State Police detective posing as a 14-year-old girl from Delaware. Moore, the Secret Service agent, is alleged to have sent naked pictures of himself to the undercover officer and requested to meet in person to have sex. And here's the punchline. Some of the communications occurred while the Sterling Secret Service officer was on the job at the White House, the complaint said. And you wonder why America's as porous as a piece of Swiss cheese. Yeah, all right, welcome to the Savage Nation Hour 3. That's all. Let's see, what do you want to talk about? The time, the this, the that. 855-407-282. I've been invited on Japanese television. I don't know if I should do it. And, yeah, that Fuji TV wants me on. I mean, it's not like I'm going to sell a book. I would like the idea of going on the TV show in Japan. For what reason, I don't know. They're not going to buy my book. They're going to bring cameras and recorders, and they're going to ask me my opinion of the election. For what reason, I don't know. Thanks again for speaking with me yesterday. We're okay with doing the interview at Savage's home studio. You mentioned early December. Can we set a date? I'd like permission to use some of Savage's interviews with Donald Trump. I'm still not sure which one we will use, but I like Trump's talking points on the TPP and how China will be able to join later and get a better deal. All right, we'll see. Fuji TV now. Who knows? What am I going to do it for? Why shouldn't I do it? Should I do it or should I do Japanese television? What do I got to lose? They're never going to buy a book. They won't buy a single book. So what do I get out of a thing? They don't pay for a thing like... You know, I hear my father talking to me from heaven saying, what are you going to do it for, Schmendrick? They're not paying you. They're not going to buy a book. So what are you wasting your time for? I don't know. I don't know why the idea they're going to watch me in Japan is going to excite me at night. Who knows? You know, fame is a fleeting thing to begin with. And everybody wants their 15 minutes. I've had 21 years of it, but... In that sense, he was wrong. Everyone has 15 minutes of fame. If you have 21 years of modest fame, it's a long time. I'm planning vacation Thanksgiving anyway. I can't focus. I'm only thinking about Thanksgiving. I'm not interested in the microaggression story or the morons on campus. You know they're all losers. You know none of them are going to get a job when they get out. They're going to blame someone else. They're going to come out of college and wonder why they can't get a job. You say, well, where are their parents? Duh. What parents? What, do you think their parents got somewhere based on brains? The parents told them how to work the system. And this is not a racial thing. The professor was white that they fired, that loudmouth, who was screaming, we need some muscle over here. Remember her muscle over here? A little fascist. Don't tell me I don't know what fascism is. She screamed for muscle over here to throw a reporter away from the protest. You hear this? This is in your country what this left-wing fascists have done to the country. Don't tell me I don't know what fascism is. I need some muscle over here. See, I'm the first one in the media to explain what fascism means. Most of you are illiterate, and you think you're smart, but fascism comes from the Latin word fascia, meaning stick. And it refers to the small nightsticks that the Roman legion used to control the populations in the areas that they conquered. The fascia were the sticks. Do you understand that? They beat people up with the sticks to control them, and that's what they're doing on the campuses now. Instead of using sticks right now, they're using the verbal stones, such as microaggression, white privilege. Those are the verbal stones of liberal fascism, in my opinion. Fascia, stick, small sticks. All right, forget about it. We could talk about anything else. Let's see what else is in the news. You heard about the perv in the Secret Service, the alleged perv. We know that bullies are running the campuses. We know that. It's all bullying. In fact, the ones who always scream most about bullies, bully, 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 they're the bullies. You know that. They're the bullies. Now they've linked arms now. They're arm in arm with the Schmendricks. They got the morons with the arm in arm, with the tubes on their arms. So now they fired one of the kindest, sweetest liberal professors, forced to quit because he refused to cancel an exam. Beloved University of Missouri professor Dale Brigham quit over student protests. You know what he did wrong? He refused to cancel an exam, telling students the following: the only way bullies are defeated is by standing up to them. If we cancel the exam, they win. If we go through with it, they lose. They forced this poor, nice liberal professor to quit. Can you believe what these animals are doing on the campuses? And by the way, don't say that's a racist word, because if you look at the protesters, it's not limited to one race. They're stupid, and they're right out of Animal Farm, and that's the reference. They're animals out of Animal Farm, period. And don't misquote me. I have the First Amendment, and I will use it every day of my career. I've done it for 21 years. You want to talk about freedom of speech? There is nobody in the electronic media more qualified to talk about freedom of speech than Michael Savage. I am the only member of the media in this country who's ever been banned from Britain based upon words that I never really said. They misinterpreted what I said. They misquoted what I said. They took out of context what I said. And based upon that, the liberal fascists in the Socialist Party called the Labour Party banned me from entering Britain. Did you know that? You don't know that. You don't know that. And you know what happened the day I woke up in 2009 and read that on the Drudge Report? The first thing I did was I went on the radio and I said, oh, my God, I'm banned from entering Britain. Well, I said, there goes my visit to England for the dental work I was planning on. And darn, I can't enjoy the famed British cuisine that they're known for. I mean, it was funny. Because what am I going to do about it? You got a bunch of goons over there who banned me from entering? It's their loss. And now what's going to happen in this country? What? Anyone's going to say something? Going to be banned already? You want to be banned for saying something? 855-407-282, phone number. 855-400-SAVAGE. The book is Government Zero. I beat Trump first week out. I did. I'm sorry. He has an organization. I don't. I have you. My book debuted as number 3. It's a news story. But no one picked it up and ran with it. Savage's book, Government Zero, debuts as number 3. His book came out and debuted at number 5. Mine was number 3, and I went into big headwinds. I mean, I was running against some pretty heavy competition. And it still made it to number 3 because of you. My only hope is that it stays on the list through Thanksgiving so that people buy it and have it for the holidays and put it on a table to, I would say, invoke conversation at Thanksgiving, not provoke. What would imagine if you went to dinner at your house and you had a copy of Government Zero mixed in with the mints and the chopped liver or whatever. They don't, no one eats chopped liver anymore. I don't even eat it anymore. It killed my father's generation. I've seen the best livers of my generation destroyed by chopped liver. No, I seriously mean that. I don't eat that poisonous food. I like it. I mean, once I'll taste it. I don't go for the ethnic foods. It was all, how did they eat that and live? They eat like things like organ meats and ground up things in intestines. It's disgusting. But all right, you know, the fact is that ethnic groups do that because they were poor and they learned to eat every part of the animal. They would eat the beak if they could. If they could, they would put the beak into a soup. The Chinese are the same way. They eat the chicken head. How'd that work out for them? They're the most dominant race on the planet. I guess their cuisine works. They eat every part of the duck. Virtually everything in the chicken is eaten, including the feet. I grew up eating chicken feet, believe it or not. It was an ethnic dish. I know it sounds crazy. I found out years later. You know that if you buy a whole chicken, you can't get the feet? Did you know that? Do you know why you can't get the feet? Because the Chinese demand on the chicken, demand for chicken feet is so great that they steal the chicken feet from our chickens and send them to Chinatown. There's actually an extract made from chicken feet that is extremely healthful. I used to love the feet. My mother would boil them in a soup. I don't know why I ate the foot. I didn't think of the bird at the time, and the poor thing's feet was in my mouth. I would juice out the whole paw of the foot, the inside of the claw. I didn't think, oh, poor bird. Now every bite I take, I feel, oh, look at the animal, poor animal. I don't know what to eat anymore. Everything I eat, I'm afraid. I eat a leaf. I'm going to look how the thing was happy in the sun. Look at that. Look how it was making sugars from chlorophyll. I don't know. Every piece of lettuce wanted to live. I'm not supposed to eat lettuce now. What do you want me to do, become a Jane? And I don't mean the kind of Jane I'm talking about, not from San Francisco. I'm not saying that kind of Jane. I'm talking about J-A-I-N, a Jane. They won't even eat an animal. They walk around with a net in front of them, waving away the air, afraid they're going to inhale, I swear to God, a microorganism. You're talking about microaggression. Jains are a religion in India. And their religion is so extreme that not only are they vegan, they have outdone vegans for 1,000 years. Vegan is nothing to a Jain. A Jain marches around in India with a net in front of them, waving it. What are they waving? Because they're afraid if they inhale something in the air, it's a sentient creature. You hear this? That they'll kill. I have no idea what a Jain eats. Is there a Jain burger made of nothing? I don't know how they live. Is there like a truck stop for Jains on the march? What do they eat? Is there a Jain in the audience? I'm serious about it. I don't know how could a Jain eat anything if they can't even inhale? But they make vegans look like meat eaters compared to you. I mean, I love everyone's outdoing it. I'm only a vegetarian. Oh, really? Well, I'm a vegan. Really, I'm a vegan. I'm a schmegan. I'm a Jain. Everyone wants to up the other person with their extreme diet. Crazy. The whole thing is a form of microaggression, if you ask me. You know that's a microaggression now that I think about it. If I'm eating, let's say, a chicken, and a guy says to me he's a vegan, that's a form of microaggression, right, Robert? It doesn't stop me from eating the chicken leg, but it's a form of microaggression to tell me what I shouldn't eat and what I should eat, right? And this one says, you can't eat that, he can't eat that. That's a microaggression. I've lived with it all my life. If I speak too loud, people don't talk to me. They say, you're speaking too loud. It's a form of aggression. I said, no, I'm from New York. That's how we talk. I had a friend, may he rest in peace, died last year of cancer, suffered for 3 years. He owned a North Beach restaurant. I don't go in there since he died. The only reason I went in there was for him, not the food. Lorenzo Petroni. I'm not saying the food's bad. Don't get me wrong, but I don't go in there. I used to go in there mainly to talk to him because I liked arguing. He was from Italy. I was from New York, and we argued with each other. And the reason we liked to argue, I liked to argue with him was, and we believe, by the way, he would say to me, I'm not, he was so to the right of me that he made me look like a liberal on most issues. He was extremely right-wing, but the point is I didn't argue with him about politics. I would argue him about food. Because if you'd go in his restaurant and eat, while you're eating, he's telling you what to eat. If you ordered a soup, he'd put the salt and pepper in it. On the table, he'd be sprinkling salt. I have to knock his big hand away. Stop it. I said, I'm paying for the soup. I'm not the guy in the Hawaiian shirt that eats here for nothing for 20 years. I'm not the local host with the Hawaiian shirt who eats for nothing. You know, put salt in his soup. Don't put it in my soup. So we would argue, and one of the reasons I liked arguing with him is because by the time I would leave his restaurant, I was in a sweat. And no matter what I ate, no matter how heavy the food was, I lost weight from the workout I had from him. But he died last year, and he also spoke in a loud voice. And he said, I don't understand it. People in his own family, they didn't want to talk to him because he spoke too loud. He said, what am I supposed to do, whisper? He said, I'm a man from Italy. I lived through fascism. The Germans took over my village. They took over our farmhouse. I learned to talk loud to survive. Same with me. My own family doesn't understand me. They said, what are you yelling for? I said, I'm not yelling, I'm talking. They said, no, you're yelling. I said, no, I'm talking. It's a cultural thing. That's why I'm on radio. The only one who's not afraid of it is my dog. He's asleep right now. When he hears me talking like this, he thinks the world is good. Things are fine. It's when he hears me talk like this, when I start to sound like an average American. You want to talk about microaggression? It's the guys who whisper. They're the ones. Oh, watch out for them. The whisperers are the real knifers in the back. Oh, yeah, how are you? Watch out for the whisperer. That's all I can tell you. The whisper is the one who's really giving you the microaggression. Now what do you want to talk about? I blew through a number of minutes here. The same callers already about from 2 hours ago? Come on, move the callers on. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-C. All right, Savage Nation continues now. Look, the issue of free speech is a big issue because it's under attack by the radical left across the campuses. We know that the universities have engaged in the hate speech campaign for 20 years now. We know that the media has been completely and totally caponized. We understand that. In Government Zero, Chapter 11 is entitled Zero Liberty, Zero Free Speech. I know all about this, but you may not know about it. And here is a good chapter to read to your Thanksgiving guests when they have nothing to talk about but the baseball score. Free speech is a topic I know an awful lot about. I'm in the free speech business. Without the First Amendment, I wouldn't be on the radio, which would please many on the left who don't believe in free speech. They believe in controlled speech. They believe in government speech. They believe in progressive speech. In other words, they believe in their hate speech and no one else's. As with everything else, you can count on progressives to side with the Islamists on free speech issues and smear anyone who tries to stand up to them. And then I talk about the new Holocaust that's going on against Christians in the Middle East. And I say this, we are fighting right now to preserve our most basic principles in the face of a progressive Islamist takeover that is attacking them on every front. Both liberals and supposed conservatives in the media are playing for the other side, whether they realize it or not. And then I name Bill O'Reilly and Greta Van Susteren, who bent over backward to blame the victims, that is, those who attacked Pamela Geller, to basically soft-pedal the Islamic murderers and attack the person who provoked them, Pamela Geller. And I wrote, O'Reilly couldn't have been more wrong. It accomplished an awful lot. It flushed out hateful terrorists and hateful liars in the media. It showed us there are Muslims ready to kill over a cartoon, and it showed us who in the media is on the side of hate. And I go on, and I talk about that event. I talk about other things going on. And I talk about other hate groups in America, such as the SPLC, the Southern... You know who the SPLC is? It's a real hate group, in my opinion. The Southern Poverty Law Center. If you look at their website, they actually attacked Pamela Geller and didn't attack the Muslims who wanted to kill her. And the SPLC is a hate group, in my opinion. So are people such as Al Sharpton, a walking hate group. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, the speech by Churchill, many speeches, there's one that's entitled, We Shall Fight on the Beaches, and he gave that speech to the House of Commons, that was known immediately as an historic speech, We Shall Fight on the Beaches. And I got to tell you, my speech that I just gave you called White Male Inventions is actually in the same category as We Shall Fight on the Beaches. It's just as inspiring. It should be recalled and remembered long after I'm off the radio. Never forget what I just gave you. I gave you something that you should hold on to. And I want you to understand that I consider it to be an historic speech, especially since I'm proud to tell you I'm the only member of the American media who's been actually banned from entering England. Now, others may say that they're this and they're that, and God bless them. Good for them. But I'm telling you that I wear it as a badge of courage and a badge of honor, that not one person in the American media that you know of came to my defense when I was illegally banned from entering Britain in 2009. And it cost me $400,000 and I got nowhere. You know why? Because nobody backed me in the media. Nobody on Fox News. Anyway, going back to today's topic, we're in very dangerous waters because many people were admitted to campuses who never belonged there to begin with. They never made it based on their grades or their intellect or their intelligence. They were pushed ahead in every grade. And now that they can't keep up with everyone else, they're blaming everyone else for the fact that they can't keep up. And they're coming up with terms like microaggression. They're inventing stuff. They're inventing things. Microaggression. Whoever heard of such a thing? It's nonsense. And the America that you know is dying. And the reason it's dying is because of the mentality that's emanating from the sickest administration in history. Some housekeeping. I want to thank you, and it's an important point. Government Zero debuted at number 3 last week on the New York Times bestseller list. I actually beat Trump, whose book only debuted at number 5. And I have virtually no machinery behind me. None whatsoever, except the truth itself. So thank you for supporting the Government Zero message. And I want to talk about Donald Trump's candidacy for a minute. I still support him, but he is far from perfect. Just as people continue to extol Ronald Reagan as perfect when he is not perfect, no one is perfect. No person, no politician is perfect. You can't make Donald Trump into a perfect candidate or a perfect man. I don't think he asks you to do that. He is far from perfect. But he may be our last hope as a moderate nationalist. And I have this question which I ask myself. Which candidate would have the guts to drop a tactical nuclear weapon on ISIS if it comes down to that? Do you think anyone else but Trump would have the guts to do it? I don't. There was an excellent article today on the closing of the American mouth by Suzanne Fields in the Washington Times. And she said, college kids do the darndest things. You send them away to open up their minds and they learn to close them for themselves and for others. The tantrum generation just managed a left-wing coup at the University of Missouri, stifling freedom of expression, forcing out the president and chancellor of the university. And she goes on with a wonderful story about these sub-morons, basically, and what's going on campuses, and how it's just like Animal Farm thing, you know, points I made myself. All hiring, admission, and participation shall reflect the racial diversity of the campus, except sports teams, given that sports is a far more important activity than scholarship and teaching, and thus alone requires selection solely on legitimate criteria of merit. I think that was written by Victor Davis Hanson when he wanted to rewrite Orwell's Animal Farm, and he was 100% right. And we've said the same thing on this program for years. It's fascism, no matter what you call it. And no one will stand up to these liberal fascists. If we don't stop them with the truth, you will have no freedom of speech left in this country whatsoever. Don't you think it's a miracle that I've survived 21 years being as outspoken as I am? Do you have any idea what would have happened to me had I gone into my chosen profession and become a professor at one of America's universities? Do you have any idea how long I might have not lasted on the campus, given as forceful, as intelligent, as insightful, and as strong-willed as I am? Do you think I would have survived on a campus? So it was God's, it was fate or God's will that when they closed those doors to me, another door opened. There's an old saying, when one door closes, another door opens. It's true in walk, it's true in religion, it's true in business, it's true in love. It's true in everything in your life. When you think that it's the darkest day of your life, it means one door closed. And if you stop looking at that closed door, which is very dark, there is nothing darker than a closed door that's been slammed in your face. If you turn around the other way, you'll see there's a big hallway, and another door will open for you. Just got to keep walking and looking for the light. Do you think I would have lasted on a campus when I worked so hard as an immigrant son to become a professor? No, they closed the door on my face. Not because I didn't have the capacity to be a professor. It's because I was a non-designated hiree. And I struggled for many years, and I found my milieu. I found my place in life. I kept fighting and fighting and fighting, and I wound up in radio. And I struggled to go from being a local host. It took me 6 years to become a national host. You know, don't think it happened overnight. I had to fight every day. The doors were all closed to me. And every day that I'm on the air, do you think this is something that comes with the territory? I have to struggle every day to sustain my ratings, sustain my intelligence, sustain my message, and not make a mistake that lands me with another closed door. Do you understand that? And so I walk the line, and I walk that tightrope, and I do it because I'm good at it, and I enjoy it. But the fact of the matter is that nothing in life that is worth anything comes without struggle. Nothing. Nothing is given to you. And yet these brats on the campuses want you to give them straight A's so they can go on and destroy the next institution that they go to. They want to go from undergraduate destructive elements to what, to graduate school? And then when they can't make it on a law school admission test, an LSAT, they'll say what, the test is racist? Or they can't make it on an MCAT? You know, they'll say the test is racist because they can't make it into medical school, automatically make them a doctor, so they'll cut your artery where they're supposed to take off a fingernail? That's what you want? You want to go into a surgical ward not knowing who's cutting you because the idiot couldn't pass a test? Is that the world you want to inherit under Barry Obama? That's the world you're going to inherit unless you stand up and be as forceful as I am, shouting down these brats. And that's all I think I want to say on this. So what do you want to do? You want to talk about the insanity of the lunatics, the losers on campuses who know that they're second and third rate, and that's why they're rioting? You're telling me a kid in astrophysics is going to waste his time screaming about microaggression? He's going to waste his time, a kid who got into astrophysics, who wants to figure out how to launch a rocket to Jupiter? He's going to waste his time with these wastrels on campus, these losers in departments that didn't even exist 10 years ago, invented departments with no scholarship? Why would he be out there with those losers? It's all a second and third tier group of morons who never belonged on campus to begin with. That's my opinion. That's all. If I had taken this approach when I was an undergrad, for example, I wasn't the smartest memorizer on campus, let me tell you that. I always had trouble memorizing things. There were kids who were far better than me at memorizing books. They got straight A's. I never got straight A's. I had trouble memorizing. I was always a dreamy student. But I didn't say that kids who could memorize better were stupider than me. I didn't say that they didn't deserve their A's. I didn't say they didn't deserve the scholarships. I said, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. They went on and they did what they did. I went on and did what I did. Everyone has their own talents. We're all snowflakes. We're all different. So don't tell me everyone has the capacity of Einstein if only they're given the chance. That's ludicrous. On the face of it, that's idiotic. Go to your football field, idiot. Everyone can play football. How many times do I have to say the same thing to you? You want affirmative action on the football field? And by that token, I should have been a quarterback. I would have dropped the ball before throwing it. But what? When I was screamed, it was microaggression because the other player scared me as he ran at me? Oh, I dropped the ball because he gave me a look. The microaggression made me drop the ball. That's the same thing that's going on in the world of the mind. But you can't talk to idiots who never belonged on campus to begin with. Never. You know, this goes back to arguments I've made for 20 years now When I went to high school, and I think it's long overdue that we do this again, there were three tiers of high school. There was the academic. Then we had, I believe there was a commercial high school where kids who were never going to be in academics went and studied to be whatever it was, I think, secretaries or this and that. And then there was the vocational schools. Basically, the kids learned to be electricians, plumbers, carpenters in a vocational school. They worked with tools, and they could become a tradesman. But you didn't mix them all together like suddenly everyone's the same, because everyone's not the same. People have different desires, different capacities. Now, all of a sudden, in this homogeneous idiot society of ours, it's assumed that every moron could be an Einstein. It's just not true. It's just not true. Not everyone is made for an academic performance. It's that simple. No matter what you're going to do, you're not going to have the same outcome, no matter how you try. So I think I've covered that topic. You know, it's nice having a multicultural president. It really is. Every religion, every race is not equal. Some are more superior than others. In fact, when you have a multicultural president, some animals are more equal than others. If you've read your Orwell, you know the reference I'm making. If you didn't, I pity you. And I never met a Hindu I didn't like, by the way. I've always gotten along with Hindu people, and I've had Hindu friends, incidentally, in real life, real time. And I don't just mean in Indian restaurants. I lived in Fiji, where half the population were Indians and Hindus, and I learned something about the Hindu religion. And I respect greatly the fact that Indian people come here, and in one generation or less, they're winning spelling bees. And it's not about that. It's about a nauseating bending over backwards to gush over every religion and every race in such a childish way. Churchill said this, "Everyone is in favor of free speech. Hardly a day passes without its being extolled. But some people's idea of it is that they are free to say what they like, but if anyone else says anything back, that is an outrage." We all know what's going on in the campuses. We all know who they are. I told you that they are the Red Brigades, the Red Guard of Mao Tse Obama. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. The date on the calendar, November 12th. Today is Thursday, so it's 2 weeks to Thanksgiving, right? So already people in America, they're on vacation already. Oh, don't, you'll see, they're taking kids out of school already next week. On vacation already, ski already. They saw snow in the Sierra. I guess global warming ended for the season. You won't be hearing much about global warming for the next few months. And they'll be already on ski vacations. I don't blame them. It's nice to escape. But at the end of the day, the kid has to go out there and fend for himself and make a living for himself. You can coddle your son for only so long. And I got to tell you, again, I'll go back to my upbringing because it was a very tough upbringing, I think. Immigrant upbringing. Father came from Russia. Immigrant. Worked very hard. Was afraid I'd amount to nothing if he left me be too soft. So he drilled into my head and he would give me lessons from Life 101. And it would be from day-to-day life. So if I was walking the street with him, let's say, and a bird across the way in the Bronx fell out of a nest, I would say, "Dad, look at the bird flapping on the ground. Why can't you pick it up and find the nest?" He said, "It's too late." He said, "If a human being touches a baby chicklet that falls out of a nest, the adult birds will kill it." Did you know that that's true? Did you know anything about life like this? Did you know about survival of the fittest? And it was harsh, and the kid didn't want to hear that. And then I learned in my own way, it is survival of the fittest. Nothing's ever changed. Now, I understand the liberal credo, which is that we're not animals, we don't live in the jungle, we live in a civilized, humane society, we're supposed to help the most vulnerable. But there's the rub, Mary. There's the rub, Mary, and I'm not talking about rosemary on your turkey. There's the rub, Mary. Who is the most vulnerable? Those who you have selected for affirmative action, who didn't deserve to be given the positions they have to begin with, and now that they're there and can't keep up, they're riding on the basis of inventions such as microaggression? Mary, do you understand that there's the rub, Mary? Who is the most vulnerable today? Well, let's see. Where do you want to begin? In the Middle East, the most vulnerable are the Christians, Mary. And what has your Muslim president done about that, Mary? Or the Yazidi women who are being raped and kidnapped by ISIS. What has your Muslim Christian president done about that, Mary? Nothing. So you want to talk about the most vulnerable in America? I would argue the straight white male who wears a cross is the most vulnerable in America today, especially on college campuses. He is being targeted for persecution. The straight white heterosexual Christian male is targeted for persecution on campuses today. Argue with me if you will, but show me the facts to prove that I am wrong. And so I'm not going to go along with the program just because you want me to. And now we can go on to other topics. College students walk out across country. You know my answer would be, keep walking, Johnny. You walked out, keep marching. Because the tests are still coming due next week. And if you flunk, you flunk, and we're not changing the exam for you. You want to take a walk out, keep marching, Johnny. That's all. But you know that those kind of things don't happen anymore. They want free school now. They want microaggression ended. While they engage in bullying and macroaggression, they want you to stop with your microaggression. To them, microaggression is standing up and saying you're a moron, you didn't belong here in the first place. That's considered a microaggression. I was ridiculed every day of my life in school. Did you know that? It made me stronger and smarter. I wanted to prove that I wasn't what they said I was, so I became stronger and smarter. I have another friend who's one of the best lawyers in the world. He was picked on because he was a small Jewish kid. I can't mention his name. He learned to fight bigger and tougher kids. You know what he learned? He learned that if they hit you, hit them harder. And hit them harder and keep hitting them till they're on the ground. That's what he learned. He's one of the best in the world right now. Is he listening to the show? I hope he is. He grew up in a neighborhood where they picked on him because he was short and Jewish. And he realized then and there if he didn't fight back, they would have crushed him. He didn't scream, oh, stop with the microaggression. He didn't know about microaggression. He knew about macroaggression. That's all.